This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, guns it. Caught. Touchdown, Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heaven.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Carl is in parts unknown. He never tells his partner where he's going on vacay. We think it's Vegas. It's March Madness. It is our man, Chris Thomas, in. We got a big show for you. We really kind of fell into this argument, and it's got people fired up. And we'll refire the phone lines at 404-726-0929 about what would you do if for some reason Marvin Harrison not working out for the pros at the Combine or at the Ohio State Pro Day today in Columbus would irk enough personnel people picking in the top seven that he was there for the Falcons at eight. Because if he is, knowing how this general manager drafts, we draft him. And how would that make you feel? We like to start this hour with a big hearty, hey man. It's been a fun show. It's already 5 o'clock. Show's flying today. We got more NCAA action. We'll be off a little bit early at 6:30. In about 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk to State Rep Marcus Wiedauer. It's about the sports betting bill. He's the sponsor in the Georgia House. Again, a lot of confusion. I'm confused. Hopefully, he'll straighten us out and know what do we need to do to maybe press our representatives to go, hey, let's put this before a vote and get things moving. He'll explain how this thing would work and the timeline to legalize sports gambling. I know if you listen to our show, we stay in our lane. This isn't left or right or blue or red. This is about green, Jack, and us getting more for the state and something that Carl and I do. I mean, there's a reason why you listen to the show. We give you the lines every day on all the biggest games because we know a lot of you guys enjoy responsible sports gambling. So stay tuned for that conversation as well.
The meme for the millennials out there that are listening is we're going to have him explain it to us like we're five.
And that's what I need because I think I even posted the wrong bill yesterday to get you to contact your local rep about. I was doing what I was told by a friend of mine who's a lobbyist who apparently screwed that up. Either way, we'll get to that information and also Grant McCauley coming up later in the five because I know a lot of talk about Jared Kelnick being terrible. Less terrible today, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Aaron Schatz has Kirk Cousins ranked as the biggest move of the offseason. He's an analyst for ESPN. And he says, yeah, what we all know and some people around the city are slowly beginning to accept that a team which has no quarterback now has a quarterback and we got a lot of weapons and let's go to work.
Yeah, except do they have the edge rusher that they need, Mike? And that is part of our healthy debate today that we're having in the Twitter poll that's exploding at Dukes and Bell 929 because you're saying, hey, this team on offense looks pretty damn good, but...
Right. Well, again, I don't know Darnell Mooney from a hole in the wall. I don't know Rondell Moore. I know there's more speed in the equation and that Mooney was a 1,000-yard receiver with Fields, ironically, in Justin's first year in Chicago. So, and he's also a guy that Kirk Cousins recommended we sign. For those of you like me that said, that's a bit much for a guy I never heard of, but it's because Kirk saw him twice playing the Vikings against the Bears and said he's a guy that brings max effort. Ray McCloud, as you said, more of a sort of a situational guy and a special teamer.
Yeah, he's a guy that you'll see in a kind of the way that CP was used when he first got to Atlanta.
Right.
You'll see him sort of burst onto the scene every once in a while on the offense. The way San Fran used him would be like a pitch out of the backfield or in some jet sweep motion, some things like that. He's not going to be a guy that's going to say, hey, we're going to line you up on the outside and run a go route and try to beat you against, because he's a little guy, Mike.
Right. So we'll be more 11 than 21. We'll be a lot more three wide receivers out there based on how the Rams operated their offense, and that's how Zach Robinson's going to do it, which gets us back to the question. Now, Marvin Harrison, or as Gus Johnson all last year, Maserati Marvin Harrison. You know he's the best wide receiver in the game, right? He is, right?
Unless you're a Malik Nabers fan.
And there's a bunch of them out there. I know Daniel Jeremiah has got him as a push right now with Marvin Harrison Jr. A CBS mock draft has Malik Nabers going 6th to the Giants, Marvin Harrison still going 4th to the Cardinals, barring the Vikings moving up and using the piece that they acquired to have 2 picks in the first round to get into that top 6.
Yeah, so if the Cardinals go off the board...
They're going quarterbacks. So that could be potentially 4 quarterbacks in a row.
Yeah, so if the Cardinals are willing to move back, which I haven't heard anything about yet, but we still have a couple of weeks for rumor season to get that out there. But so if the Vikings take the place of the Cardinals at 4... And then you have Tennessee at 7. I don't think they're taking a wide receiver. Well, then the Falcons.
Vikings would most likely, if they can't get the deal. See, I still think at the end of the day, this is a fun conversation. The Cardinals are going to draft Marvin Harrison. They're going to draft him. The Chargers are going to trade with the Vikings because the Chargers have their quarterback. And they can move down to where the Vikings are and maybe get another wide receiver of their own. Or Brock Bowers and more picks. So that's where I think it's going to play. But the question we're asking you guys today at 404-726-0929, because you know how this general manager operates, a lot like Thomas Dimitroff, and it's more about offense than defense. It certainly has been so far. Would you see us, if Marvin Harrison is there at 8, Falcons taking him, and then you would have the ultimate 2016-type offense, you'd have big-time wide receivers, you'd have the best, one of the best young running backs in the league, and your defense, like we did in 16, we now have used this a few times, Chris, they'll be better because teams will be playing catch-up, because we will be... unstoppable.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, and I would be a lot more against the potential of Marvin Harrison if there wasn't the two other pass rushers available. I keep banging the drum for that because I don't know what the exact drop-off is between Verse and Turner and then Latu and Chop Robinson. Now, if you're going to sit here and tell me, and we'll ask the analysts as they come on over the next couple of weeks here on the show, if the drop-off is so great that the only thing you can do is draft Verse or Turner, fine.
Right.
But if the upside is there for the other two guys and you can trade back into the second half of the first round and still get your edge rusher with Marvin Harrison at 8, then that's a no-brainer. But unfortunately, Mike, for now, a lot of those moving parts remain to be seen.
Our man, a good buddy of ours, Manny Morales, says, Marvin slips to 8, Falcons better run to the podium. That guy is a Hall of Famer. Well, his dad certainly was. Earlier today, when we first started this conversation, Brian McFadden hit us up, and Brian says, you don't do it. And he said, you've got to commit to defense. That's Brian. Pretty good. Know something about football. Real quick, ask you guys what you think. It really got people fired up earlier in the show. You know how the general manager operates. You know we need edge rush. But do you think that Harrison is so good? And if somehow he ticks off us that one or two GMs that are going to go wide receiver, and he's there.
That's all it takes.
Do you do it? I go Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. Let's go to Taylor. Hey, Taylor. Hey, man, you're in the game on Dukes and Bell. What you say?
Hey, guys. You have a great show. So does the morning shift. Thank you for letting me join in. First off, we got the best quarterback available in Kirk Cousins, and the city just needs to stop it with the nonsense. You were in quarterback purgatory. And now we got a guy, and he's going to give you 30 touchdowns and 10 picks. And and now he's in a better situation. Maybe his career goes up from here. Who knows? But you got a guy, man. And,
right.
And all this nonsense and all this noise just needs to stop. That's the first thing. Our guy, Flatnote, is doing an amazing job. Just let's give a round of applause to the guy. He's kicking and taking names all day long. And we got to put our trust in him. It seems like this has been the first time that the man has really been allowed to do his thing. So let's let him do his thing. I think we got to trust him. I don't think he's going to leave us wrong. Okay. And as it pertains to, if Harrison drops, listen, I know we need pass rush, but do we have pass rush in 2016? Do we have pass rush in 2012?
Enough,
okay,
I would say no. John Abraham didn't have that opposite number, and that's why we couldn't stop the 49ers in the second half of the NFC Championship.
But would you have gotten there without the offense?
that's the debate. You know, Brody and Julio were a deadly tandem, you know, and Harry Douglas, too. You know, if Harry doesn't trip over the 20-yard line, we might have won that game.
Well, but, let's not. Our guy Harry's doing his thing. We love Harry. He's doing
We're kidding, Harry. Let's go to Patrick, man. Patrick, yay or nay, if the Falcons had a shot at Marvin Harrison, how would you play it? Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, first of all, Turtles, good to hear you on here, man. Love to hear you in the interest, too.
Thanks,
man. Man, I got to tell you, I've been defense. We need that edge, but you cannot put Harrison in that same category. I'm telling you. You got to have work ethic, man. You got to go show up when it's time to show up. You got to practice. Julio Jones didn't do it. Julio Jones failed us. Oh. Julio Jones was the Michael Vick of receivers. Oh. When the work needed to be done, it wasn't done. I don't see that with this dude. If he's there at eight, you got to take him. I want defense, but, man, he's a game changer. And if you're going to give Kirk Cousins another weapon, you cannot. That's the best guy in the draft. He is the best athlete in the draft, hands down. And I'm telling you, you cannot pass up that opportunity.
All right, big guy. Appreciate it. Again, those are the opinions of Patrick, not that of Dukes and Bell. As I said earlier, we were talking about philosophy, offense or defense. Did mention the year that Dimitroff moved up in the draft in 2011. We needed edge rush because it was John Abraham, but John would get double teamed. Guys, they would tackle John Abraham. That was the argument. It was the argument of, do you try to get after the quarterback? Well, you just lost to the Packers in that 2010 divisional playoff, and that was a year with a robust pass rush class. J.J. Watt and Vaughn Miller and Claiborne and Cameron Jordan, Ryan Kerrigan, and Alden Smith. But again, the philosophy was it's offense. And you guys, I don't have to remind you, said it earlier. We were a Julio, unbelievable catch on the sideline, and a couple of knees, field goal for winning the Super Bowl. And then the Julio argument is lock, stock, and barrel solid. You got it. Dimitroff made the play for it. And then 5 years later, you got a Super Bowl. And that's all you can ask for. But we didn't. So if we get back to where we are now, 16 is a year that could be a lot like this 24 season, Chris. A lot of weapons covering up the warts on an average defense.
But when that main weapon and when those two main weapons are a Maserati and a Lamborghini, I kind of like the sound of that, Mike Bell.
I still got to go Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. I cannot pay lip service for another decade by this Falcon team. Got to get it in the trenches, man. Got to get it, in this case, in the edge. We'll come back. Gambling in Georgia. How's it going to work? How close are we? State Rep Marcus Wiedauer is going to explain it to us. You know Carl and I are behind this 100%, as are many of you. We will give the balanced arguments. I know the arguments against it. I will express those.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lest you people that have problems with gambling start getting on my case already on social media. Conversation next on Dukes and Bell.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with Chris Thomas in for Carl today. He's on some vacay in Las Vegas, ironic enough, where certainly he can be gambling on some sports if he so desires. Gets us to a hot topic on the show for a number of years. If you've been listening to Dukes and Bell, you know we support legalizing sports gambling here in the state of Georgia. And there's always a bit of confusion because there's usually numerous bills either going through the Senate or the State House. And since we don't know jack about what's going on under the Gold Dome, let's talk to somebody who's trying to make it happen. Representative Marcus Wiedauer, he represents District 121, which is out there, Athens, Clark County, Oconee as well. Representative, thanks for coming on Dukes and Bell. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, man.
Doing
great.
Hey. All right. Here's the deal, Rep. How does this work? First things first, where are we? What needs to happen? And talk about the bill that you're sponsoring. What's going on right now?
So right now we've got we're actually working on a Senate bill. This is the same language I had last year. It has come over from the Senate, got passed out of there with a constitutional amendment. Currently still going through committee in the House. Thought it was going to be tomorrow, maybe Monday. We'll see. It's kind of crazy this time of year. We've got just three legislative days left and a couple of committee days speckled in there. So still got to get it to fine-tune it out of committee and then hopefully onto the House floor by Thursday next week.
For citizens who support the bill and support the movement to legalize gambling, I think one thing that could get cleared up is where exactly do they go? Who do they reach out to? Who can they call or what websites can they go to get the information necessary to make an informed decision?
Sure. You can go to the Georgia General Assembly website. You can look up Senate Bill 386 and kind of see it for yourself. I mean, reaching out to your state representative, which you can also find there on that website. You know, a lot of the opposition to this, you know, they're loud. But the people that really want this, which is, I believe, the vast majority of the people that are already doing it, they're not being quite as loud. So, there's some issue there. But certainly, would love to have that support. Mm. I will say, you know, this isn't legalizing gambling. This is allowing for online sports betting only.
Right.
And, you know, for me, that's a big difference, right? I mean, we're not talking about bricks and mortar. We're not talking about casinos or horse racing. We're talking about something that lots of Georgians are doing right now on their phones. They're getting around the geofencing that we have in the state. Mm-hmm. They're betting in Tennessee and North Carolina. We're losing those tax dollars across state lines because they're doing it anyway.
Right.
You've seen the heat maps probably of all the bets that revolve around the national championship game and what have you that were attempted. Well, I promise you, they didn't stop, right? They didn't. They might have got that bet might not have gone through then, but they found a way to make that bet. You know, so and right now we have no protections for the people that are engaging in this,
right?
Because they're either doing it on the black market or they're doing it across state lines, and we're not able to help those people that might need some help.
It is a state representative, Marcus Wiedauer, guys. It's the sports betting bill sponsor in the Georgia House. So correct me if I'm wrong, we only got a few more days for the legislature to go and move on something like this where we can eventually, you guys can agree that then the people of Georgia could vote on it.
That's right. And what we got is we've got a day 38 tomorrow. We got a committee day on Monday and Wednesday next week. Session days 39 and 40 on Tuesday, Thursday. And we'll sign you die sometime in the wee hours of Thursday night or Friday morning, depending on how it goes.
And I know that we've talked to a lot of folks on both sides of the issue. There's some folks, I got this from addiction.com, said there's 80 million Americans, or 80% of American men, I should say, at one point or other in the year have made a sports bet. And there's apparently 1% of the population that has an addiction to gambling. So to me, the benefits outweigh the negatives. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it just seems like, we look at Florida, they're projecting to have $4 billion in the coffers, and this is coming up in the next 3 years with what they were able to do. And I know that a lot of folks feel, well, what are the mechanisms? How is this going to work? First things first, we just want to let the folks decide for once and for all, basically.
That's right.
Correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Get in front of the Georgia voters. If people that are thinking like I am are wrong, we'll find out in November. You know, so just put it on the ballot and let's see what happens. But as far as the money, you know, we're leaving hundreds of millions of dollars on the table that could be going straight into Hope and Pre-K, which is where this money would go. It goes into the Georgia lottery. You know, fortunately right now we're able to, you know, fund Hope 100%. You know, but right now there's a bunch of kids that are still waiting for state-sponsored slots in Pre-K. And, you know, some of that, too, is the reserve money that the lottery has on hand. this actual the enabling legislation would actually force them to buy that down and spend it and deploy those dollars to create more spots in pre-K.
So for those who are uninitiated, it appears to be that this is the way of the future, right? So in a sense...
Right. Every other state in the Southeast seems to be going
this
that way.
This is nothing more than delaying the inevitable. So for those who don't agree with this measure as a first step to eventually leading to other things down the line, what could you say as a representative and what could we say as a general public to those people to sort of calm their nerves and ease them a little bit about what this would look like?
Well, again, I'll go back to it being simply online, right? So let's say we're you're driving down the road. You're not going to see a casino on the corner. Somebody's going to have to, whether it's an eyesore, whether people just, or it's an attractant, to come in and gamble, right? You're not going to see that sort of thing. If you place a bet right now and we're sitting in the same room, I would never even know.
Right.
So this is not about really kind of changing the culture in which we, live, work, and play in. Right now in Georgia, this simply is going to allow for a legal way for the things that people are already doing right now. Right. And you go back to the 1% you mentioned. Listen, we're not turning turning a blind eye to that either. Right. Right? There's a lot of language in this legislation that allows for assistance in problem gambling. And look, again, you go back to without this, we can't get that in front of people. We can't reach out to help them when it's illegal to begin with.
Right.
So, this is I would suggest that this is going to help the people that are already doing it that have a problem because we're going to be able to reach out to them as well.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, with Representative Marcus Wiedauer. He represents District 121 out of Coney Athens, and he is the sponsor of getting this bill through the Georgia House. In a minute, we'll ask you how you folks can contact their local rep and at least use your leverage through an email to maybe get some traction on this. The argument, which I always come back to with people who oppose it, Representative Wiedauer, is we already have the Georgia lottery. Zell Miller brought in the lottery. So anytime I play a scratch-off ticket or I go online, which I can do from my house, to buy a lottery ticket, I'm in essence gambling.
That's right. And I'll tell you, I'll take that a step further. I mean, go into a lot of gas stations these days, right? Coin-operated amusement machine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's legalized in Georgia. We walk into basically what to me looks like, slot machines in almost every convenience store. So, there's a lot of things that are going on there. This just popped in my head when I think about seeing those things. I mean, I don't even bet. I'm doing this because I think it is the right thing to do. This is not something I even engage in, right?
It's revenue.
I just believe it's revenue, and I believe it's something that we need to do to give a legal, safe place for people to do this.
One more time for everybody out there listening, where can they go and who can they contact? Give us that website again. Great info.
So the Georgia General Assembly, it's legis.gov. You can go there. You can click on representatives. You can put in where you live, and you can find out who your state rep is. Their phone number, their office phone number is there. Their email is there. You can email their assistant or them directly. Again, we'd love to have that help. We'd love to have that help.
And we'd love to help you. I know that every single sports team, professional team in town is on board with this. And we want to get things moving. So, again, hopefully this will be the year that the House can get this thing pushed through. Otherwise, back to next year in the legislative calendar. But thank you so much, Representative, for coming on and answering some questions and taking some of the confusion out of the issue.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it, guys. That is Marcus Wiedauer, again, representative here in the state who's working on the bill. Guys, we've said this a million times, and I know that, as he said, he's personally not into the brick and mortar. I see places around Georgia Dome, hotels, casinos that have the capacity. You're seeing some spaces like, for instance, CNN Center. I would like to see this. First things first, you got to get it moving, and then we can try to progress locally and see where people, Chris, would be acceptable to having an actual building as opposed to driving up to Harrah's or going down to Biloxi or over to the dog track in Alabama or something like that. To me, it gets back to the revenue, especially when we'll get to a point where we'll be surrounded on all sides with states that'll have it. Alabama's looking at as pushing it forward ahead now themselves.
Yeah, Georgia's looking up right now in terms of potential money in everybody's pockets. And who doesn't want that, Mike Bell?
Right on. Hey, man, bring it. Let's do it. As you said, I like to be able to do things legally when I can. Just the way I roll. We'll come back. Grant McCall is going to join us. Is it a big deal? Is it no big deal that it is going to be somebody else on the bump for the opening day up in Philly? And does Kelenic not stink as much today? Coming up next. All this aggravation is satisfaction.
mentioning.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Been a busy show today. A lot of people passionate about the what the Falcons are going to do at 8. More on that conversation coming up. Also, NCAA hoops to get into the big dance starting tonight. You'll hear that at 6:30. Chris is in for Carl today. And our man, G-Money, Grant McCauley, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. We'll go kind of across the board. We'll start with, hey, Kelnick was not terrible today, Grant.
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
No, it's almost like spring training is for more than just trying to put up big numbers that will be indicative whatsoever of what kind of season you'll actually have. But in all seriousness, I think we're starting to see the fruits of the labor and the hard work and the process that it takes to change and adjust your swing. In addition to, as we know, and as you can see by the numbers in Seattle, Major League Baseball, getting there is hard, staying there is even harder. And Jared Kelnick, I think, has still been working that problem. But yeah, I think that we've finally started to see with the swing and maybe some results here today that it is possible that this guy could actually be good as well.
Grant, what was your initial reaction when the team decided to bring back Adam Duvall for what feels like his seventh stint with the team, but ultimately he's going to be a platoon in left field with Kelnick? This decision coming after it seemed like the team was going to at least let him start the season as the full-time left fielder.
Yeah, I would chalk it up to two things. All plans that teams make over the course of the winter, over the course of the spring, and throughout the season as they have to adjust, it's all a fluid situation. And when Adam Duvall wasn't in the picture, you couldn't have pointed to anybody that they had in that mix for the outfield that I would have said, you know, Jared Kelnick should lose at bats to this guy because of some upside play or some kind of statistical advantage. I just felt like, okay, well, let's throw him in and see what he does against lefties. And they may still do that some. But when you have a chance to go out and get a player that you're familiar with, as you mentioned, Duvall, this is going to be his third stint with the Braves. He's been a part of some of their great successes and postseason runs. He's had some moments. He has power. He's a good glove. And he fits all three outfield positions, could play first base in a pinch. I mean, he checks a lot of boxes for what they really just didn't have in camp reserve-wise. The power toward the top of the list. But I feel like all of that made sense. And when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos back in the spring, one thing that he pointed out about trying to add to this team, and I know I've said this before, and at the risk of repeating myself, I just think that this is the essence of the move, is when you try to go sign veteran players to kind of round out your club, if you don't really have a clear path for them to play, you're not as desirable a place, even if your club is winning. They still want to play baseball. And the Braves have so many immovable parts, you kind of have a hard time finding a fit for that, if that makes sense.
It is our man Grant McCauley talking about the Bravos. Raisel Iglesias, not a great outing today as the Braves beat the Blue Jays, but man, Matzik looks great.
Yeah, Tyler Matzik, I think, has answered a lot of questions, I think, for himself, for what the Braves would like to see. Obviously, you know, the entirety of Braves country, as it's come to be known, is pulling for Tyler Matzik to be back in that bullpen and providing some moments and memories the way that he did a couple of years ago. And it just gives the Braves that much more strength, particularly from the left side of the bullpen, where A.J. Minter was a lot of times the only guy that you could really count on from that side last year. Well, now you have Matzik back. You've got Aaron Bummer in this mix. Dylan Lee also looks healthy. really nice component to have in addition to all of the other guys from the other side of the bullpen, the right side, that also can miss a lot of bats. I know it wasn't Rysell's day, but fortunately, I don't think he's going to be throwing too many first-inning opening spots this year. But, you know, get your work in, get it done, and all the stats that count for these guys, for Jared Kelnick and everybody else, they all start on March 28th.
Grant, I can't even imagine what your DMs and what your comments looked like when you made a post about Spencer Strider getting the nod for opening day over Max Fried. Braves Nation freaking out. Is this the end of Fried because he's not getting the nod? What was your take about Spencer Strider getting the ballgame one?
This was a well-deserved honor for Spencer Strider, and one that you really couldn't make a wrong decision between these two, and it doesn't really come down to that criteria either. The way that I looked at it was, A, there's only one opening day, so there's only going to be one opening day starter. But whoever didn't start that day is going to be right back out there the next day. And I talked to Spencer Strider this afternoon, and he really said, you know, our goal is to win every single day. I mean, going out and starting against the Phillies on opening day doesn't give them a modicum of redemption for what the last couple of years has ended like. You know, for example, I mean, there's a lot of different things we can get wrapped up in on certain assignments and certain days. It's an honor. But as you go back and look at some of the great pitchers that the Braves have had over the years, beginning through the 90s with Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, those guys alternated opening day starts. Tim Hudson was also in that mix late. I mean, I think Huddy even got opening day starts over Smoltz. It's not necessarily indicative of the resume or the player themselves or, you know, the fact that somebody might be in their free agent walk year, which I can assure you was no part of the discussion with not giving Max Fried an opening day start.
No, we were looking at it, Grant, earlier. We went all the way back to Len Barker. I mean, sometimes it's indicative of how bad your team is. You know, when I mean, and, you know, as we were waiting to build, you know, Truist Park, Julio Teheran got 6 years in a row of being the opening day starter. No disrespect to Julio, but, you know, that ain't Glavine, Maddox, and Smoltz.
Not everybody can be Rick Mahler. That guy, I think, still got more opening day starts than just about anybody other than Phil Niekro.
Right. It's our man Grant McCauley with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ronald Acuna with four RBIs today. He looks dialed in. He threw out a guy at second. It's spring training for the umpires because they blew the call. But I saw the play he made. I thought he had headphones on yesterday. It was his Oakleys. But he makes a great catch. So it looks like the knee is back to normal, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like they gave his time because they had time to give it. And as we've kind of talked about over the last couple of weeks, caution would certainly be the route that you want to go in spring training. And if it had been the regular season, I have a hard time imagining he would have missed more than a couple of 3 days at most with what he was dealing with, the way he felt, getting the imaging results back pretty quickly, but no reason to push him back in. And, you know, again, all things are trying to get pointed towards a healthy start to the season and a healthy season for all these guys. So I think that the precautions that they took with Ronald were understandable, and he got an awful lot of work in the cage and on the backfields to keep that swing going and keep himself timed up.
Grant, from what you gather, to the best of your knowledge and what you've seen of him, what happened to Bryce Elder?
To be honest with you, I think that this is something that's not really altogether surprising for young pitchers who go through that process of discovering who they are over the course of their first at least 35, and sometimes, depending on who you talk to, 50 starts. When I've started, not to age myself, but just kind of walking in and being a wallflower or just a fly on the wall or whatnot in a Bobby Cox-led Braves clubhouse in 2004, 2005, I always heard him talk about with some of the young pitchers that came up, well, we got to get him 200 innings. We got to get him 35 starts. Then we're going to start to know what we have here. And I think that process is a difficult one. And Bryce, I don't think we've seen the last of him, certainly, has just got to continue to work through it, to refine his ability, his pitch ability, his mix, and execute, because he's not a guy that can get away with it in the way that Spencer Strider can and just say, okay, well, I'm going to throw 98 in a wipeout slider. I'm going to get out of this inning and strand those two guys. Bryce Elder has to be a little bit more fine. He does have to rely on the defense a little bit, which the Braves have a pretty good one. But I think that the curiosity about what they could get out of Ronaldo Lopez was as much or more of the decision that the Braves were looking to make about their fifth starter, at least to open the season.
This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors, as Grant McCauley's talking about this, the entry to the season about to begin. Grant, I did my rant to start the show. I love baseball, and like a little kid, I'm always excited about first pitch, but not when it's like 4 a.m. in Seoul, Korea, and you're going to go back to play spring training games. It's like baseball continues to just blow it. I mean, the NFL puts on a show on a Thursday night that everybody's watching, and this thing kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah, the big thing that I would say, you know, is, and I guess with comparison, is the NFL has created a brand, a global brand that everyone else should aspire to. I think, and I'm a baseball guy, but I understand the differences and the apples and oranges that we're talking about here. Baseball, I think, looks for different niches to grow the game globally in ways that, and I know the NFL also plays global games in Europe and London, and I guess that's part of Europe anyway, but long story short, they're also trying to reach markets that are crazy for baseball and get their product there. So spring training's still going on. Maybe that's a weird time to do it. I know we've had this conversation about the World Baseball Classic. Is that the best time to do that? I enjoy that tournament a lot, but, you know, I don't want to stop the regular season to do it either. I think they're just still trying to feel these things out, and if they get the response they want internationally, they're still going to look at that as a net positive. And when you get to take one of the biggest stars in the world and Shohei Ohtani and company on the road and show these guys off to different countries that won't get to see them on a nightly basis, I still think that there is meat on that bone, and I understand why they're trying to go after it.
Grant, while we're talking about the global game and baseball in general, has this been the offseason that showcased the long-awaited by many anticipated downfall of Scott Boras and his stranglehold over the league?
Well, just when you think it's safe to maybe make that assumption, I feel like there's going to be a course correction and adjustment at some point. Does that mean that the Major League Baseball Players Association, which appears to be, according to Jeff Passan's report a couple of days ago, might be looking for ways to kind of shuffle their hierarchy and get things moving a little bit? Because I think teams, as much as anything, are a huge reason for this, because they're looking to pay for future performance and not past performance. Meanwhile, the sports agent can just take the resume out there, like all of us have, and say, well, this is what this guy has done, this is what he's proven, this is what we believe he's worth, and this is what we want for him to come to your club for X amount of years. There's just a lot that I think Scott Boras has done that could be viewed as a positive in terms of getting the players everything that they can. But it's an inexact science these days, and I think maybe the equation's changed a little bit for him, too.
Now, Snell is a guy we just don't spend the money on at that rate. I get it. That's kind of been the way we operate, and you can't argue with the success. But just feel like, you know, all the chips, you know, in the middle of the table, because this is our window to go get it done. And I just wonder, you know, if you're betting on Sale. I mean, he looks good so far, Grant, but I would like a little more, you know, a little more. I didn't get no risk at no biscuit, but I just like to eliminate all the risk by going for the best available. That's my only argument.
Yeah, I mean, you can go for that. And I know Chris Sale's injury history is one thing that people look at and say, okay, well, I mean, there's cause for concern there. But any pitcher at any time, as we've learned, can be one pitch or one outing away from their whole season kind of going up in smoke. And Alex Anthopoulos, I want to say it was in 2019, in a preseason media availability, was talking about, you know, spending all of his money, putting all of his chips in over the course of the winter, and then not really having much available his first year as a Toronto GM. And I want to say it was Francisco Cordero, who was a closer back in the, you know, mid-20-teens or early-20-teens, and he went out and got him, and he was awful in Toronto. And then when it came time to kind of make some moves and supplement, he had hemmed himself in and really didn't have that availability to go out and spend that extra money when it could have actually helped the club. And so I think that is part of the calculus for Alex, and I'm hoping I got that whole story and, of course, the name of the pitcher right, that would help. But I think that the way that he goes now is that throughout the course of the season, there still may be that move where you go in and where you go after a player, an impact trade, and somebody that could, you know, conceivably put the Braves over the top. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, and we look at the Atlanta Braves and we look at what the expectations are for themselves, how they're projected, the way everyone is viewing this club, it is pretty darn good. Could it get better? Maybe. But they are about as close to as good as it can possibly be, at least to get this thing going.
Right. And that's why we've got to win it all. And we've got to start with those Phillies.
Right.
We'll talk about that later in the week. Hey, man, thanks for the time, Grant. Again, catch him during all the shows, guys, on the morning shift with the Steakhouse. Andy Randy as well. Thanks, Grant.
You got it, guys.
All right, man. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the headlines. But first, Danny Green's going to join us, our Odyssey NBA insider. This hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. See what he thinks about, you know, the Lakers look pretty good the other night. They can make a run. Hawks, does Danny have any thoughts about the Hawks?
Well, I want to ask him about, he's been a veteran lock in a locker room on some bad teams. What do you do to keep the guys motivated?
Good pull. Coming up next on Dukes and Bell with Chris, in for Carl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.